Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Steve King is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is a new friend. Steve is a partner at Emergent Research, and he is in the process. One of the things that they do there at Emergent is conduct research projects identifying and forecasting trends that impact you and me, our small businesses. And so he's here with a report that's that was conducted for and with Intuit. And he's our new friend, Steve King. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. The most recent research that you've done produced some very interesting points that, that some of which we've talked about a little bit on the show over the years. And tell us a little bit about what did you find in the most recent Future of Small Business report from Intuit?
Our most recent research focused on what we call the hobbypreneurs, and these are people that have a passion or a hobby, something that they really enjoy doing, and that they've taken it to the next level and have created small businesses out of them.
Oftentimes, accidentally.
Absolutely. The accidental entrepreneur in this space in particular is very common, and of course, because of the recession, the accidental entrepreneurs very common outside of this space also. But particularly in this area, you see people that accidentally, they start their projects, they do something in the arts and crafts space, or they make something, or they create something, and at first, they tend to sell their product just to help fund their hobby. But then if they get traction, even if they're not planning it, they end up converting and becoming full-time small businesses.
This has been going on a long time. This is it's an emerging thing right now, primarily because technology has given these people the ability to leverage what they're doing without leveraging a lot of infrastructure. But this has been going on for millennia, really, I guess you could say.
I think there's always been hobbypreneurs. And in the old days, you know, you go back 100 years or more, and it was a sort of a common way to become a business person and a
right.
small business person.
Well, there's no question about it. And, you know, I think back on 30 years ago, I guess, I heard about a recording company called Windham Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that? Have you heard of that recording?
I do know Windham Hill, yes.
Yeah, and Will, I forgot his last name, the guy who founded that was a guitar player. And he would, his friends would invite him to come over and play his guitar and sing, and play at their gatherings out there. I think out there in California, where you are, and so finally he was getting so many requests, he just made CDs, cassettes, and he would just give them to his friends and say, hey, I can't come to yours, I've got something else to do, but here, play this, and literally just by doing that for friends, a recording company was born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of a hobby kind of thing. And but you can't underestimate the way technology has given life to the hobbypreneur, can you?
No, and it's interesting. The costs continue to come down, and every day I hear about a new capability that wasn't available the day before that's cheaper, easier to make and build things and do things as a hobbypreneur. I just ran across a company that makes shifters for cars,
mm-hmm.
sport shifters for performance cars, and the guy who's doing it's using a PC-controlled laser cutter. He's a mechanic by background, and in talking to him, he paid about $6,000 for this laser cutter.
Yeah.
And a numerically controlled laser cutter, computer-controlled laser cutter, cost about $250,000
right.
years ago, and you needed a serious technician to run it. And now he started that in his garage. He first wanted to make one for himself, and then that's turned into a business for him. But it's the in this case, it's not just information technology, but it's also the production technology.
Right.
Well, cheaper and easier to use.
So what are some of the findings some of the other findings that you determined with this report?
Well, there's several things. First is this whole concept of it's easier to make things and cheaper to make things and across all hobby activities. The second thing is, and it's very important, is that the Internet now allows you to easily find, well, it's not necessarily easy, but find a market for your product.
Mm-hmm.
It's really aggregating enough market to create a viable niche. And so if you make altered Barbies, and that's one of my favorite areas is the altered Barbie.
I'd heard that you like to play with dolls, Steve.
It's very funny. And, of course, we were at an altered Barbie show.
Where this sounds a little bizarre. So tell them what an altered Barbie is before we go too much further.
There is a whole subculture out there of people that buy Barbies and then alter them, adjust them, change them.
We talk with clothes, though.
They across the board, you'll see it with clothes, but they'll also add other features. And so you'll see Barbie mermaids, Barbie princesses. And, of course, the Altered Barbie Show, the annual, these shows are all over the country, but there's a very large one here in San Francisco. And, of course, that Altered Barbie Show goes beyond
I don't think I want to know about all that, Steve.
Definitely goes beyond G-rated Barbie.
Exactly.
But the Altered Barbie World is a great example, and if there are all sorts of Barbie fans out there, it's got a very popular subculture, and a lot of people
These are niches of niches.
Yes.
And see, that's the thing. See, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, even maybe even 15 years ago, you could develop a niche in a fairly small town or area, whatever. But the more the technology and the Internet gave you the ability to reach people all around the world, you were able to build out a niche inside of a niche inside of a niche. I mean, you can go to multiple degrees of niches, because all you got to do is, that's the beauty of a small business. You don't have to conquer the world to be successful. You just need a few customers.
That's right, and they and with the Internet, you can market out and find those customers, but more importantly, they can find you.
Right.
The people with very narrow niche interests are going to be looking for information, products, capabilities in their areas, and so they also find you. And you're right, you were never able, without the Internet, a lot of these altered Barbies and a lot of these other hobbypreneurs that we're talking to could never have a large enough audience within their regional area or within their town, but now they do have a large enough audience to support their niche.
Steve, hold on to that thought. Steve King is our guest, folks. He's a partner with Emergent Research, and we're talking about the Intuit Future of Small Business Report, the most recent one. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the attitude you've got to have to be a hobbypreneur. It's a different kind of an attitude from a regular entrepreneur. 20 after. Stay with us.
Afternoon.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. We built it so that you could come there and hang out and without any barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you use our stuff, read, listen, ask questions, subscribe to my newsletter, check out my blog. If you want us to follow you home with something, we can do that too. Just tell us what you want. We'll do that. And, of course, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Steve King is our new friend, soon to be an old friend. Steve is going to continue to bring us some good information about the research that he and his organization does on small business. Steve, tell us about Emergent Research.
Emergent Research is actually, we consider ourselves a new age mom and pop shop. It's a husband and wife team. We work from home. My wife's our managing director.
So you work for her, is that right?
I do.
I understand. I have that same scenario. Go ahead.
I do in all phases of my life.
Yeah.
and our clients are a mixture of large corporations and government agencies and foundations, people that are interested in the small business sector. We also work with a number of small businesses themselves around market and business planning. And our primary focus is to better understand the forces impacting small business, both in terms of operations and formation.
Right. So give us the website, please.
our website's www.emergentresearch.com.
All right.
And our blog is smallbizlabs.com.
Smallbizlabs.com. All right. So check that out, folks, and you get a chance. And the reports are there, right?
Reports are there, other research and other resources for better understanding small business.
We're talking about the concept of a hobbypreneur, someone who's got a hobby, who's focused on something. They're the hobbyist that all of a sudden there's a little demand for what they want, and they start doing a little business with their hobby. Now that's a completely different attitude from somebody who says, I want to be a small business owner. I am now an entrepreneur. I want to start, run, and grow a small business. That's a different attitude, isn't it, Steve?
It is, and many of them, when you actually interview them and talk to them, will actually tell you that they didn't start out to be a business person, and in many ways they still don't consider themselves
right.
A small business or a business person.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a fundamentally different attitude that way.
That's good news, and it's also bad news.
It is, because in our work, both for this report and other research, we've done a lot of analysis of what makes artists, craft people, other hobbyists successful. And one of the keys is the people that take the business side seriously, on average, are much more successful than the folks that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And by seriously, I mean divide their time. And the very successful hobbypreneurs are spending anywhere from 40 to 60% of their time working on the business aspects of what
mm-hmm.
they do. The unsuccessful hobbypreneurs are the ones that are spending 80 and 90% on their hobby and only 5 or 10% on the business.
Well, see, that's the issue. That's when it changes. There's a conversion, isn't there? And I think you guys call it a tipping point, don't you? In your report, you call it a tipping point, where it moves from being fun, the hobby being fun, to where if you can't find the work of being a business owner fun, then you're not going to like being an entrepreneur. You need to stay as a hobbypreneur, don't you?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if you don't, or at least tolerate it and are willing to do it well, and put the time and effort into doing it, because the business aspects are important. The other thing that we found is that most successful hobbypreneurs that become small businesses create multiple streams of revenue. They don't just sell a piece of art, or they just don't make a piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They also provide services. They might also give seminars on how to do it themselves. They do more than one thing. They'll have an online presence. They might also sell physically, and so they need to create multiple streams, and again, that requires business skills and the willingness to do it.
And an understanding of how the marketplace works,
yeah.
And of demand, and customer service, and all that. You know, hobbypreneurs remind me of inventors, if you think about it.
That's fair.
Because how many times have you and I, Steve, met people who were inventors, and they decided that instead of licensing their stuff, they would go ahead and take it to market. And most of those people, the ones who survived, realized at some point, I am an inventor. I am not a manager. I need to hire somebody to manage my business that is around these inventions that I've done.
Absolutely, and there are a number of firms that do that now, of course, and
mm-hmm.
and many inventors do understand their lack of skills, and
the ones who survive do.
Yeah, and it's interesting in the hobbypreneur space, a number of firms have started up that do the same thing that the companies that help inventors do. They help the hobbypreneurs with the business aspects,
right.
Of the marketplace like Etsy or other 20x200 in the art area that help them do that and
right.
Do some of the same things that those firms that help
Steve,
them.
Steve, I got to wrap it up. Where can they find the report?
The report's at, you can go to two places. It's on Emergent Research, but it's also on Intuit's website at intuit.com/future of small business.
Future of small business. So check it out when you get a chance, folks, especially those of you who are hobbyists. Hey, Steve, thanks for coming, and come back another time.
All right, thanks for having me.
Quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.